All right, Dawson, let's continue. So we're picking up on the bottom of Lamed Beis Amud Beis 32b. And we left off, I left you off mid-story. Mid-story. So remember, again, there was a story the Gemara tells about the individual, the Chassid Echad, right? The Chassid who was going ahead and davening on the road. And what happened? There was a particular sar, a particular guy, an officer, who came along and said hello to him. The individual davening, the Chassid davening, didn't return the greeting. So the sar said, "You're nuts, I could kill you. I could kill you for what it is that you did." So this Chassid said, "Give me a few moments and I'll respond." So the Gemara says, listen to this. So we'll say last line 32b, literally last line. Amrlei. So the Chassid responded as follows. He said, "Ilu hayisa ome lifnei melech basar vadan, uba chaveirecha v'nasan lecha shalom." Tell me, if you were standing in front of a melech basar vadan, right? If you were going ahead and you were standing in front of an earthly king, a king of flesh and blood, uba chaveirecha v'nasan lecha shalom. And your friend came and gave you shalom. So imagine again, you're talking with the king, right? I'm talking with the king, and my friend Reuven comes along and gives me a shalom aleichem. Hayisa, top of Lama Gimel 33a. Hayisa machzilo, would you respond to him? In other words, if you're in the middle of a conversation with the king, would you respond? Would you respond to your friend in the midst of this conversation? Amar le lav. So this officer said, of course not. And tell me, sar, if you did respond to your friend's greeting while you were in the middle of a conversation with the king, what would the king do to you? They would lop off my head with a sword. They'd decapitate me. Because obviously, again, it would be a terrible affront to the king, right? You're talking with the king, and then someone goes ahead, your friend walks over, and suddenly, again, you start conversing with your friend. That's a terrible affront to the king. So he says, So the chassid said to the sar, he said, it's even a greater kavachomer. Uma ata shayisa omeid lifnei malach basar vadam shayom kanu machar bekever. So you, important minister, we're talking about you standing in front of the king, an earthly king, who's made of flesh and blood, which means he's here today and gone tomorrow. And yet, again, you acknowledge that you would not interrupt your dialogue with him to speak with someone else. So he says, he goes on, he says, Kachani shayisi omin lifnei melech machay amlochim. So the chassid says, I'm standing before the Ribono Shel Olam, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the King of Kings. Shuchai v'kayom la'ad uli omei olamim. He is eternal. He's eternal. Right? Chai v'kayom, he's alive and well for all eternity. Alach is kam v'kamo. All the more so, how could I possibly interrupt my dialogue with the king? So miyad nispayis osa hasar, v'niftar osa chasid l'beiso b'shalom. So what's interesting is the sar, the minister, was satisfied with this answer, and the chasid went home b'shalom. So you look at a story like this, like, what exactly is the point of this? Like, what is the takeaway message of this story? So I think it's a very important episode over here, which is a lot of times when our religious convictions are challenged for different reasons, we come up with all different types of explanations and excuses and this and that. You know, it's almost like, you know, one of the incredible things that we could learn from the Muslims. If you ever see a Muslim when he asks the Davin, you see this in New York all the time, right? What does he do? Right, roll out the rug. He's down, right? That's it. He's doing, and it doesn't matter. Right. No. I was gonna say duck into a phone booth, but there's no phone booth anyway. Right? Hey, he doesn't pretend to be on the phone, right? Or if he has to stop off at the driving early in the morning, doesn't open all the doors and like put on tefillin like in the middle of the doors. We'll say it's interesting. Like, we're very apologetic about our religion, and we're very apologetic about our beliefs. And for some reason, we feel like we have to give excuses for why we do what we do. And we don't. It's good to be a proud Jew. And a proud Jew doesn't have to give excuses. And a proud Jew doesn't have to pretend to be on the phone to daven mincha. And if the world thinks you're crazy, one thing we've learned, the world is going to think the worst of us regardless. It doesn't matter what we do or what we don't do. We will not sway public opinion one iota. So if you're not going to change the way the world thinks about you, stop caring about the way the world thinks about you and just do what you have to do. Yes, so then this is only by Shemona Esrei. This halacha that we're finding over is Dafka by Shemona Esrei. Not permitted. Not permitted. Although some might argue with that. Some say talking is permitted the entirety of davening. No. This talking about a very specific case where a person is in the middle of Shemona Esrei. The idea that Gemara is trying to tell it over is you don't interrupt in the middle of Shemona Esrei unless, of course, there's an acute need.
But is the severity of less severe by, let's say,
oh,
yeah. Or is it
same to me? No, different level of severity by Shemona Esrei, because Shemona Esrei is a different darg of tefillah. Kriyas HaTorah is incredibly important and holy, but it's not a conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kriyas Shema is Kabbalah's Omachu Shemaim, but it's not a conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Only Shemona Esrei is the conversation with the Ribbono Shel Olam. So because of that, it has a higher level of severity. So let's say, I think the gatlus of this story is, what did the chassid do? Right? The chassid is not like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, I offended you, I upset you. What does the chassid say? I'm talking to the king. And I know you're a powerful and important guy, but you're not as powerful as important as the king. Be a proud Jew. 100%. 100%. Right? He gave the mashal, right? He gave the mashal of a king. See, he didn't just say, right? He wasn't dismissive, and he couldn't afford to be dismissive because obviously this guy had the power of life and death over him. But Lamaisi, you just see, right? He explained it with incredible derech eretz, right? He said, Hamtinli, wait for me. So you always act with derech eretz. That's the derech of our people. We always act with derech eretz. But at the same time, there's no need to be apologetic. We could be explanatory, definitely explanatory, but no need to be apologetic for who and what we are. Such a powerful, powerful story. All right, let's go back there. Afilu nachash karuch ala keval yafsi. So they're both like, then the Mishnah said, and this is really like a very interesting statement, even if there is a snake coiled around your heel, right, you can't interrupt Shemona Esrei. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Sheshes, lo shon ala nachash. It's about a snake. Ava akrav posik. Okay, good news, we'll say. Good news, right? It's only for a snake that you can't interrupt. For a scorpion, it's a good idea to snap your Shemona Esrei. The idea being that apparently a snake bite might harm you, but it's not going to kill you. Scorpion bite is going to kill. I just want to be clear. For our purposes, halacha l'maisa, snake, scorpion, right? Just stop, drop and roll, right? Whatever you need to do, right? See something, say something. Whatever adage you want to put in there, right? You stop, right? The Gemara is trying. There is a little bit. Although the Gemara, I'm sorry, it's just like you. Yeah, go ahead. Stop, drop, roll, run. Whatever you need to scream for help. Tap and tell him. Call Chavirim. Whatever you have to do. I don't know if the Chavirim is the address for that, but whatever. So the Maisa. The Gemara is trying. The Mishnah is trying to make a point, and the point that the Mishnah is making over here is that you don't interrupt your Shemona Esrei, right? That's the takeaway. So obviously, again, we're seeing these stories of incredible people with incredible amuna who would not interrupt anything. Okay, but the Gemara is saying, for a scorpion, you should stop. Mesi, the Gemara is the kasha, nafal gov arayos, ein mi'idin alav shemes. So let's say, this is so interesting. Let's say you have a guy, right? Reuven's married to Rachel. And what happens? Reuven falls into a lion's den. Not a metaphor. Actually, like, falls into a lion's den. So now let's say afterwards no one saw Reuven. So now Rachel wants to know. What does Rachel want to know? Right, besides, did he have life insurance? Right. What does Rachel want to know? Could she remarry? So Gemara says something very interesting. You would think, I would have thought, that if you see a guy fall into a den of lions, that's a pretty good indication that he's dead. And you could testify that he's dead and that his wife could remarry. So the Gemara says, no, you can't. You can't testify that he died. Maybe he's still alive. We'll see why in just a moment. So the Gemara says, "Lechafira malei nechashim v'akravim mi'idin alav shemes." Now, by the way, what's the chap with the lions? Rashi says over it's the first line in Rashi on top of the daf. Ein mi'idin alav lomar leishto meis balech la'tira l'dinase pamim she'ein arayos re'evim ve'ein ochlim also. So this is very interesting. Why? Because sometimes the lions aren't hungry. Sometimes they're not hungry. So you could have a situation where a lion falls into a person falls into the lion's den. And if the lions had lunch, so the mice said the guy is going to escape unscathed. However, again, same case, if a guy falls into a pit filled with chashim v'akravim, mi'idin alav shemes. We testified that he died. Why? So what do you see from here? You see from here that snakes are dangerous. Right, we were just saying before that if there's a scorpion around your foot, then you should go ahead and stop Shemona Esrei. But if it's quote unquote only a snake, don't worry about it. Snakes aren't going to do anything to you. The Gemara says here a guy falls into a pit of snakes. You could testify that he's dead. To which the Gemara says, no. Shani hasam agav de itzitzamaski. It's different, we'll say. when you fall onto the snakes, right? We're talking about a case where he falls onto the snakes. I'll say, what happens when you fall onto the snakes, right? You agitate them. I'll say, you know what? It's reminiscent of Lahavdil. Do you remember the good old days, right? When movies, remember, what was the Indiana Jones movie where he falls into the thing of snakes? Temple of Doom, right? Right. And I say, so it's okay. You can acknowledge that you saw. That's all right. It's okay. On the plane to Eretz Yisrael, of course. That's the only right. And I say, so again, what's incredible over here is they're talking about a case where if you fall onto the snakes, so obviously, again, the impact. Thank you. The impact causes like a snakele agitation. That's a technical term, right? And the mice that causes them to go ahead and attack. But stam a snake apparently isn't necessarily going to attack. Okay, I'm Rabbi Yitzchak. I'm going to give some other examples. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak. Rosh Shavar and Posek. It's interesting. If you see an ox opposite you, stop Shemona Esrei and run. Get out of there. To tell Rabbi Yoshia, Marchikin Mishortam Chamishim Amma. So Rabbi Yoshia said, we distance ourselves ultimately and from a short time, 50 Amas. Now, we'll say, now remember, a short time is a short that has no history of goring. So this is even like a non-violent short. In other words, what we're suggesting over here is that a short, by just its very nature, is violent. So therefore, if you see a short, even with no history of goring, you still go out, you distance yourself from it as far as you can. 50 Amas. Mishar Muad. If you see a shor muad, an animal that is warned already to gore, then kimali einov. Distance yourself as far as you can. So tana mishved rameir reish tura bidikula salik leigra vishadi darga mitusach. It's also a good piece of advice. Even if you see the head of the ox in the trough or in the feed basket, run up to the attic and take away the ladder. Now, what does that mean? So again, from the eyes of Chazal, that oxen were very prone to damage people. So because of that, essentially, stay out of the way. Stay out of the way. Again, it's not literal. You have to run to the eye and take away the ladder, right? But Lamaisa, what it's saying is you see an ox in the proximity, get out of its way. Amar Shmuel says, Hani mili bishar shachar ubiyomi nisan mipnei shasatan meraki lo ben karnas. This is interesting. So Dafka refers to a black ox during the days of Nisan, right? So interesting, I'll say, so we just kind of chatterin on this over here. This is good to know. So during the Nisan, I guess, again, emerging spring, so the ox is getting a little bit wild, Rashi says over here, B'yomi Nisan, mitoch sha'avru yimei astav, shar tzivesh, v'ach sha'av roa o samalei desharim, deshoim, zocha daito alav, v'nichnas bo yitzahara. So because Rashi understands over here that since the fall is over, the winter's over, and the earth is coming back into full bloom, so the ox gets a little labor dig. It's a little labor dig, and I guess apparently the black ox has a different kind of temperament. So therefore, again, so if you know me, Nisan, and black ox, just be careful. All right. So Mar Satan Abana, this is a great story. Maisa b'makom echad, shahaya arud, v'haya mazik esabrios. There was a story of a certain place, that had a problem with an arud. Now, we'll say an arud, Rashi says over here is min hanachash v'hatzav ba sheniskakin ze'im ze'viyotzi mishneim. So we'll say, so literally, Rashi understands this to be a crossbreed between a snake and a toad. So I don't understand the physiology of that, right? But Lamaisa, it's some type of crossbred animal that is incredibly dangerous. Incredibly dangerous. So what happened? There was a story with a particular place that had an arud problem. And this arud was biting people, injuring people. Okay. So it was incredible. They came and they told Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Right? Isn't this beautiful? Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, we have an arud problem. All right, take care of it. So Amar Lahem, Heru li eschoro. So Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa said, okay, take me to its furrow, to its hole, right? Take me to its furrow. Show me where it is. So Nasan, I can't suppose it's wild. So they took him, Heru Eschoro. So they took Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa to the Arud's furrow. And what did he do? Nasan Akeva Api Hachor. He put his heel on top of the opening of the furrow. Yatza Vinashcha Umes. The Arud came out, bit Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, and the Arud died. So what happened? Gemara says, Umes also Arud, not luck, Seifo. So Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa carried it on his shoulder. So by the way, whatever this is, it's big, right? It's big. So he's carrying it on his shoulder. Ve'avila beis medrash. And he brings it to the beis medrash. I'll say, what does he say? It's incredible. Amar lahem, ru'u banai. Ein arud memes el hachet memes. So he said, see, Rabbi Osai, that's what, see my children. It's not the arud that kills people. It's sin that kills people. Rabbi Chinim Ben Dosa was saying, Rabbi Osai, this is such an incredible yisod. The powers of harm and the powers of evil only have power or control over us when, again, we are in a compromised spiritual state. But when we ultimately, again, are on the highest, on a higher spiritual darga, destructive forces don't have power over us. Yeah. He was trying to teach. I think he was trying to teach a lesson, a very profound lesson. To understand, things in life can only harm you if you're spiritually compromised. Yeah, I hear it. I guess he also said, you know, sometimes when you see people cowering in fear of the wrong things, like leadership has an obligation to kind of set things. Yeah, it seems a little far off. Obviously, don't try this at home, right? That's first of all. Of course, don't try this at home, right? But Lamaisa, like even more than that, at the end of the day, I hear, but I think he saw them so fearful of this arud, and meanwhile he saw, Chevra, if you're spiritually whole, if you're good with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if your holiness, if your ruchnius is intact, you don't have to fear anything. He says, "Eina arud memis elachit memis." It's not the arud that kills, but rather it's sin that kills. Well, so this is how the Gemara ends. Ba'osa sha'amru. At that moment, they said, "Ailo la'adam shepaga ba'arud." Woe to the person who meets up with an arud. Va'ailo la'arud shepaga ba'arud. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. It's a great line, right? So, woe to the person that meets up with an arud, and woe to the arud who meets up with Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. I would say a tremendous and powerful yisod for us, which is sometimes the goal in life is the stronger we make ourselves spiritually, the less we have to fear in this world. I think we'll stop over here for tonight. Shkoyach. We are back.